This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
On Tuesday's Front Page, the $1 trillion European rescue package. For now, anyway, investors are less worried about a default on Greek debt that might have hit the balance sheets of some big banks. President Obama nominated Solicitor General Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court. And can the oil industry handle the cleanup from oil spills a mile underwater? We'll talk with reporter Leslie Kaufman, who's been covering the spill in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm James Barron. We'll look at those stories and more on the front page of Tuesday's New York Times. Our top story says European officials tackled the widening sovereign debt crisis hours after they agreed to put up nearly $1 trillion for a rescue package. Central banks began buying Eurozone government bonds directly. That was a first. The move injected cash right into the financial system. Times reporter Nelson Schwartz explains why they did it.
The central bankers and people in the markets realized the stakes were very high, that the panic at the end of last week had gotten to a point where we can't risk another Lehman Brothers. I think the immediate worries about whether Portugal, Spain can pay their debts, that will ease. I think there's still an ongoing concern, a deeper concern, about whether all the borrowing that everyone's doing is sustainable, and that includes worries about the U.S. too.
The euro rallied against the dollar, the risk premium dropped on government bonds from Greece, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial shot up 404 points, closing at 10,785.14. President Obama nominated Solicitor General Elena Kagan for the Supreme Court. She's the first nominee in almost 40 years who hasn't been a judge. Times reporter Adam Liptak says that could help her and hurt her all at the same time.
It will strike some people as odd, but it's not unusual historically. People have come onto the Supreme Court bench historically from all sorts of positions: governors, senators, attorneys general, presidents. It also means that she doesn't have much of a paper trail. That's probably a net plus for her. It will be less for people to scrutinize.
That's Times reporter Adam Liptak, who covers the court. Ms. Kagan is too liberal for conservative activists who criticized her nomination as a radical threat. Nor is the left happy. Liberals were hoping for a counterweight to Justice Antonin Scalia. Ms. Kagan's nomination continues a pattern going back to the 1980s, with Republican presidents installing strong conservatives on the high court and Democrats picking moderates. Hopes are fading for containing the giant oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico by lowering a big dome on top of it. Times reporter Leslie Kaufman says oil drilling has moved into deeper waters in the last 15 years. I asked her if the oil industry is capable of handling the cleanups that far down.
So that's a good question. Not completely known. Cleaning up oil at any level is very hard. Even now, with the very best technology, they only expect to clean up about 20% of the oil that's out there. But if they were drilling at 5,000 feet, why weren't they experimenting with how to solve that problem until now? And the answer is they underestimated the likelihood of a spill.
Times reporter Leslie Kaufman. Afghan President Hamid Karzai arrived in Washington for 4 days of talks. The administration is pulling out all the stops. That reflects Washington's decision to abandon the publicly tough approach it was trying last year. Back then, it wanted Karzai to tackle corruption and drug trafficking in his own government. Later, administration officials concluded the strategy had backfired and Karzai was more resistant than ever. This time around, President Obama will spend almost all day Wednesday with Karzai. We'll go inside Tuesday's Times after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out the service. One book to consider is New York Times bestseller No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller by Harry Markopoulos. The Audible edition includes a bonus chapter of testimony from the victims of Bernie Madoff and candid comments from the Inspector General of the SEC. That's No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller, now available from Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
Inside Tuesday's Times, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown made a bid to keep his beleaguered Labour Party in power. Labour lost 91 seats in Parliament in last week's elections. Brown said he'd resign by September. That's a bid to get the Liberal Democrats to form a governing coalition. The Liberal Democrats are also getting overtures from the Conservative Party, which won the most seats, but fell short of a majority. In the Philippines, exit polls gave Senator Benigno Aquino III an early lead in the voting for president there. Aquino had campaigned against corruption in government, promising to prosecute corrupt officials within weeks of taking office. Aquino's father was a longtime opponent of dictator Ferdinand Marcos and was assassinated in 1983. Then his mother was president for 6 years until 1992. This time around, Times reporter Norimitsu Onishi says violence and computer problems marred the voting. The long-running confrontation in Thailand may be nearing an end. Anti-government demonstrators who've paralyzed parts of Bangkok for 2 months announced they'd accept a proposal for elections in November. The protest leader, who was the lead negotiator in back-channel talks with the government, says they'll probably disband their camp on Tuesday, but some demonstrators might stay on. Traces of explosives were found on that South Korean warship that sank back in March. A mysterious blast split the 1,200-ton vessel in half. The South Korean government has said the cause was probably a torpedo attack. Many South Koreans believe the North was responsible. South Korea's defense minister isn't going that far, but he did say forensics experts who had gone over the wreckage found evidence of ingredients used in torpedoes and mines. In Tuesday's Science Times, using a form of laser imaging to map ancient Mayan civilization. 4 days of scanning from an airplane did better than 25 years of mapping on the ground. Two archaeologists from the University of Central Florida concentrated on the ancient city of Caracol in Belize. They realized they were looking at a picture of urban sprawl. They estimated the population there was once more than 115,000 people. Here in New York, the street vendors who alerted the police to that SUV in Times Square were going on their instincts and the advice of Alan Kay. They don't know him, but they know his work. He's the advertising executive who dreamed up the phrase, "If you see something, say something." He wrote it for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority after the 9/11 attacks. He says the phrase that was running through his head was "loose lips sink ships" from World War II. He says he wasn't born then, but he knew that line, and so did everybody else. That's all the news that's fit to podcast. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.